My name is Michael Darbouze. I was going to just jump right in, but I met a few new faces, so I just want to take a moment to introduce myself so no one is wondering why am I up here and not David. I was asked to be here and grateful to be here. I feel right at home. I'm amongst family. We're living now, my family and I, in Nashville, Tennessee. We left last year in June to go and do a replant in Nashville, Tennessee, the southeast Nashville area. And Shelter has been a partner in that gospel work from the first day until now. And so in just a love for this family, we want to come back. I say we because I always travel with our household, but I wasn't able to come with the wife and kids this time, so it's just me. But I'm used to saying we, so bear with me. But I want to come back and be with you all once again before we relaunch, because once we relaunch, I probably won't be able to make a trip to North Carolina for some time. And so we squeezed it in to be able to get here before we relaunch in August. So again, I feel right at home. This is family, and so I'm going to make myself at home. Grateful to be able to just continue in a sermon series as a pastor. Oftentimes when you're going someplace as a guest, you're asked to do a standalone sermon. And I wasn't asked to do a standalone sermon because I'm not a guest. I'm a familiar face. This is family, so I get to continue into the sermon series, and I'm excited to do that. So we're going to be in James chapter 3, in the second half of James chapter 3. And last week, you all were in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and learning about the power of your words and that our words show what's actually in our hearts. James, in that passage, opens up with a very sobering statement. He says here in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." So James is making it very clear that not many should become teachers. And that's not because James believes that the role of a teacher is toxic, but it's because he understands the weightiness of the role, the weightiness of the words that a teacher communicates, and that there would be greater strictness in the judgment that the teacher experiences. But notice James didn't say not any should become teachers. He said not many. So there are some who should become teachers. And what we see in today's passage, starting in verse 13, is that James identifies the characteristics that should be present for the one who should become a teacher. And he points out three characteristics so that we could identify who should be a teacher. He speaks to competency, he speaks to conduct, and he speaks to character. So James opens up with competency. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is learned, skilled, intelligent, knowledgeable?" And James is specifically speaking to the Word of God. Now, James starts with competency because that's where most people start when they're looking at the role of a teacher. But that's also where most people stop. They stop at the idea, once we identify the person who is considered the subject matter expert, who's knowledgeable, who's intellectual, who has a high IQ, that person can be a teacher. But James lets us know, while competency is critical, it's not the only characteristic that's essential to the one who is going to serve as a teacher of God's word. And so James goes on to say what the conduct of the one who is to be a teacher should be like. He says, "By his conduct, this wise and understanding person, let him show his works." This word conduct can be translated manner of life, the way that you live, the example that you set. So James is that algebra teacher that you would come with the assignment done and all of the answers are right, and they mark it wrong because they say, "Nope, you didn't show your work." It's like, "Yeah, but I got the right answer." Right, so James probably wouldn't be your favorite algebra teacher. James says you should show your work. Right, so the one who's wise and understanding, it's not just in what you know that you demonstrate that, it's also in what you do. And this concept of showing your work is not new to James and to his readers, because James takes that same approach earlier in this letter in chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, when talking about faith, what you know, what you believe. And that's great, but James says, show your work. So here we see in chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I like to say, show me what you do, and I'll tell you what you believe. And this is what James is communicating. The wise and understanding person is not simply the one who can write a dissertation or who could present a thesis in a great way that wows the crowd. It's the person who knows what to do and does what they know to do. So competency is important, but so is conduct. But James doesn't stop there. He gives us one more characteristic. He speaks to the character. He speaks to the way of wisdom. There is a way that we are to live out this life. And so James lets us know that by his conduct, this wise and understanding person is to show his work in the meekness of wisdom, the humility of wisdom. So what James is communicating is that not just what we know is important, not simply what we do with what we know is important, but how we do what we do with what we know to do is also very important. And this idea that James has of identifying those who should be teachers is not exclusive to James. This is present throughout all of Scripture. Right? We can see that more clearly in 1 Timothy and Titus when Paul speaks to his sons in the faith and lets them know how they can identify teachers to be raised up in the body. And Paul gives the same characteristics. He speaks to competency, he speaks to conduct, and he speaks to character. We can see that in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Paul, writing to his son in the faith who's to identify teachers, those who should be teachers, says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I direct you. And here's one of the things that he needs to see in the elder. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. So he speaks to the conduct. If you see this person living out their faith in this way, that's somebody who's on the short list to be an elder. But again, he doesn't stop at conduct. He goes on to speak to character. He says why this conduct is so important, verse 7 and 8. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. That's the ways of the world. It says, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined, the way of wisdom. And then he goes on to speak to competency. He, this person who has the competency, the character, must uphold the word of God. He said he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction or teaching to teach in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So this person should have an awareness, an understanding, a knowledge, a skill in handling the word of God in such a way that they would be able to teach sound doctrine and to refute false doctrine. So Paul has the same list as James to identify teachers of God's people, those who are able to rightly divide the word of truth and to share that with the people of God. They must be people who are competent, knowledgeable in God's word, but who also show the conduct that they are living out what they know, showing their work, and that they also have the character that demonstrates that they are God's people and that they can teach God's people. So James, after giving these characteristics so that we can identify who should become teachers, he also lets his readers know who should not be teachers. So James goes on to give some very sobering points for those who might think that they should be teachers, but exposing that they should not. Here in verse 14 and 15, James writes, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and downright demonic." The ways of the world. Said, if you are walking in the ways of the world, you are not to be a teacher of God's word. Says, if bitter jealousy and selfish ambition are in your hearts, if this is your character, this is your makeup, says, do not boast. And what he's speaking of is what he's just shared in verse 13. Do not say, do not declare that you are wise and understanding in the ways of the Lord, because your heart has revealed, your character has revealed that you are not wise and understanding in the ways of the Lord. He says, you would be false to the truth. That'd be a lie. And he said, rather than being wise in the way of the Lord, being walking in the way of wisdom, you'd be walking in the way of the world. That's not wisdom that comes down from above. This bitter jealousy, this selfish ambition, that's 100% the way of the world. And this person is not to be a teacher, because the only thing that they can produce, their conduct would not be becoming of one who would profess to be a believer. And James says what that person's conduct would look like here in verse 16. Says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So for the person whose character is filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, that person's conduct is going to be disorder and vile practices. That's all that they can produce. That's what their conduct will demonstrate. And allow me for just a moment, since I'm at home, since I'm amongst family, to take some liberty and have a pastoral moment. As I was reading and meditating through this passage, I was reminded of the time that we live in. That's a little different from the time that James lived in. James was speaking to his audience to let them know the teachers that are rising up amongst them, those who are wise and understanding in the ways of the world and boasting as though they were wise and understanding in the ways of the Lord. And James wanted them to know how they can point out the wolf in sheep's clothing. But we have a different dynamic in our context today, where it's not simply to believe that David and Tyler and Daniel will make sure that whoever stands up and handles the word of God is rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you could trust, not because you know me, but because you know your pastors, that some wild and crazy individual is not just getting up here and throwing it from the seat of his pants and trying to just say some things that sound good, right? But the only problem now that we have is that there's a whole lot of access to other teachings. And it's not just what comes from this pulpit. And everybody can proclaim to be wise and understanding, because you don't have to be vetted in order to get an Instagram handle. You don't have to be vetted to start your own YouTube channel. And you could just get a channel, get a page, and start saying some things and acting like you're wise and understanding. And people will tune in, will follow, will subscribe, will share these teachings. And while it may sound good, remember the three characteristics that James points us to. It's not just what you say. It's not simply what you know, it's what you do with what you know and how you do what you do with what you know. And the one thing that I've learned, and maybe you have a different subscription because I don't subscribe to YouTube and I've done away with Instagram and Facebook, maybe there's a different way where you can get to know the person who's sharing it, so you can see their conduct and you can get to know their character. And you could affirm, you know what, this is somebody who's walking with the Lord. Their fruit demonstrates that. But from what I've seen, you can't discern that from watching a YouTube channel. And so am I really able to identify if this person should be a teacher or if this person should not be a teacher of God's word? And so if I can, just a word of caution, I'm not going to make a mandate. If we were in Southeast Nashville, I probably would make a mandate, but I won't be so bold to do that here. But at least a word of caution. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you observe, because there's a lot of people whose hearts are filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition that are subscribing to sharing the word of God but for their own filthy gain. And then we see later down the road, a hard left or right. And wait, but this person used to. And then it's just a little bit of a twist, right? The Bible tells us that the devil knows the word and trembles. But look at how he's living. So just because someone may talk a good talk, we need to make sure that they're walking a good walk. And if we can't identify that, we should be very hesitant before we listen, subscribe, and follow people that we can't identify their conduct and their character as well. And so James, as a loving leader, leans in because he wants the congregation to know these individuals should be teachers, but there are many others who should not be teachers. Can you identify that? If you can, praise God, run with those leaders. And I'm grateful to be able to say that I know that David, Tyler, I haven't gotten to know Daniel as well, but I'm sure if he's rolling with David and Tyler, he better be a solid brother, right? But and I'm sure he is from the conversation that I've had. But I can attest that these men are men of God who love his word and who love his people. And you can listen and follow their teaching. I can't vouch for everybody else on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. So caution. And if you want to, just unsubscribe. You got good teaching here. That's sufficient. That was our service announcement. Now back to the word. James lets us know that those who are walking in jealousy and selfishness are walking in the way of the world. And the reason why they cannot be teachers of God's word is because the way of wisdom and the way of the world have absolutely nothing in common. And if you are going to be a teacher of God's word, you have to be walking in the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom is going this way. The way of the world is going that way. You're going to have to choose. And so if you're walking in the way of the world, you can't be walking in the way of wisdom, and therefore you're not to be a teacher. And James makes that abundantly clear of the opposition between the way of the world and the way of wisdom here in verse 17. He says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So first and foremost, above all, the wisdom that comes from above is pure. It's uncontaminated, without spot or blemish, no wrinkle. The way of wisdom and the way of the world, in other words, do not coexist. They do not play well together in the sandbox. There's no mixing and matching the way of wisdom and the way of the world. And the world lets us know this. The word lets us know this to be true. In passages like Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, Paul writing to the church in Galatia says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, the way of wisdom. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, the way of the world. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the way of the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against, in opposition to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So you're going to have to pick which way you walk. Am I going to walk by the Spirit? Or am I going to walk in the way of the world? They do not hold hands and frolic through the tulips. They're going in opposite directions. And if we're going to walk by the Spirit, then we have to deny the flesh, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, and walk in the Spirit. And so for those who are walking in the way of the world, they are satisfying the flesh. They are not going to walk in the Spirit because the two don't mix. So the way of wisdom is pure. Has nothing to do with the ways of the world. And then there's a very weighty list of characteristics that are also to be associated with the way of wisdom. James already told us one in verse 13. He says humility, that we are to conduct ourselves in the meekness of wisdom, the humility of wisdom. But he also tells us that this wisdom is peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, just be honest, transparent, because I know that this family can handle that because you have pastors that are honest and transparent. As I was reading through this word and meditating on this truth, it's very difficult to stand up and proclaim boldly the word of God. It's difficult because while God's word demands confidence, clarity, and boldness, I'm also aware of my frame, that I am imperfect. And so as I read through this list and I see the full of mercy part, I think about the last 2 months of some of the things that I've been walking through. And I've been merciful in a lot of ways, but abundantly merciful, it's like maybe my tank was on like 98%, not 100 and overflowing. And I had to acknowledge that, right? So before I stand up and cry loud and spare not, and if the word is kind of nudging or cutting just a little bit, doing what the word does, I'm first partaker of what I call the Ginsu knives. If I could raise my shirt, I'd show you some battle wounds that I got sitting under the word as the Lord corrects and convicts me to say, you are to behave this way. See, because we can run the mistake of thinking that this list, the way of wisdom, is only for the teacher. But the teacher is the one who has to walk in the way of wisdom. That's not what James says. James communicates that a teacher is to be a person of character. So absolutely, is to be a person who's competent. Yes, but this is for all believers. We are all to be people of character. So while not all of us may be called to be teachers, all of us are called to walk in the way of wisdom. And so we have to hear that list and not say, yeah, see, and that's why you can't be a teacher. No, we need to listen to that list and say, Lord, what are you showing me? Where are the areas that I've grown? And I could celebrate that. And where are the areas that I'm continuing to grow? And unless any of you came from the third heaven to be a part of this service because you just want to hear me preach again, thank you for your support, then all of us have not yet arrived and can look at this list and say, I've grown and I still need to grow. And I need to acknowledge that and not say that that's just somebody else that needs to do that. And the word makes this again very clear to us. Passages like Ephesians 4 let us know that we are all called, all required, all commanded to walk in the way of wisdom. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, believers, to walk, to live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So let me just touch on this for a moment. If you have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you believe that he has left heaven and come to earth and lived a perfect life and died for our sins and was buried and rose and has now ascended and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me, then this word is speaking to you. You are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called as a child of God. And here is the list. And this list will sound very familiar, very similar to what we just read in James. Here, verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4. You are to walk with all humility or meekness and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is not like the way of the world, where that's division and vile practices. The way of wisdom says we are to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to walk in love. We are to be gracious, gentle, kind. And while this list may sound daunting, you're right, in and of yourself, in and of myself, there is no possible way that I can do this, but we're not called to do this in our own strength. Listen to this encouragement from Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul continues, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. In other words, you and I have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. God has equipped us and empowered us with the ability to walk by the Spirit. And we have to wrestle with that well, because sometimes we aren't walking by the Spirit and we're gratifying the flesh. And for those of us who have answered the call, who have come to Christ, we need to acknowledge that I just made a choice. I just made a choice right now to not be gentle and to go ahead and be spiteful, to be mean with my words. I'm not walking in the Spirit because I chose not to show mercy. Instead, I'm choosing to hold a grudge. Just let me know if I haven't caught your living room just yet, if I haven't made it into your personal closet, right? I'm choosing to walk in the flesh, but it's a choice that you make if you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, this list doesn't pertain to you because you are in bondage, a slave to sin. You have no choice. Sin controls you. And I can identify with that because I didn't come into this world saved. I didn't get saved until 25. I know what it is to be in bondage to sin. But I also know what it looks like to come to Christ and to know the truth, to have the competency, the awareness, the knowledge, but then to not demonstrate it in conduct, to not show my work. And for those of us who know the Lord, who love the Lord, that should bring about correction. Not condemnation, but correction, to turn from the way of the world and to turn back to the way of Christ and to walk in wisdom. So none of us who are in Christ are absolved from walking in the way of wisdom. And we need to understand that. We need to wrestle with that. And we don't need to excuse ourselves from the mandate that the Word of God gives us to show our work, to be people of character, and for our conduct to demonstrate that. And as we walk in that way, the world will see something altogether lovely. And that's what the Word lets us know here in James, verse 18. As James closes out this section, it says, for those who are walking in the way of wisdom, it says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This word harvest is singular, so it's fruit, not the fruits, saying the fruit of righteousness, which righteousness, plainly put, is to be in right relationship with God. So for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Word lets us know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so for those of us who are walking in the way of wisdom, we don't produce disorder, but rather a fruit of righteousness. And Jesus tells us what that fruit looks like. In his Sermon on the Mount, I'll just read a few verses in the interest of time. In chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That should sound familiar. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The fruit of righteousness for the peacemakers is the right to the tree of life. We are sons and daughters of God. For those who walk in obedience to the Word of God, who walk in the way of wisdom, you produce a fruit of righteousness. You are privileged to be called God's children. Once you were alienated, separated, far from hope. But now we are children of God because of Jesus Christ, not because of our perfection. Paul makes that very clear. Paul, in his elder statesman stage, says that he still had not apprehended that which has apprehended him. Paul also lets us know in the Word of God that we see through a glass dimly. But when we see God, we will know as we are known. So it's not that we've arrived, but it's that we're pressing toward the mark. And if or when we shouldn't extend the level of mercy that we are called to, we can do what we just practiced earlier in this service: confess, repent, and walk in the joy of the assurance that we have been pardoned because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the difference between those who are walking in the way of wisdom and those who are walking in the way of the world is that we make a conscious decision when our wrongs are pointed out to do what's right and pleasing in the eyes of God. So again, whether you feel a sense of call to be a teacher or not, the words that James shares are not just for the teacher. It's for every believer. We are called to be people of character and conduct and competency that reflects the heart of Christ. And if we are not, then we need to repent and return. We need to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires and run to the lover of our soul. And so if I can, as we close on this wonderful morning, leave you with an encouragement and with a challenge. I want to encourage you because I've been encouraged by you. I'm reminded of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. He says, every time I think of you, I think of you with great joy. And he was confident that the good work which God began, he'll finish it at the day of Jesus Christ. And he said the reason why he was so confident of this is because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I can personally say that I've been greatly encouraged by my family here at Shelter Church, because you have been partners in the gospel work that's happening in Nashville from the first day until now. And so I'm confident that God is doing a great work in and through this ministry, because here you all are in a set up and tear down environment, putting up the chairs and breaking down the chairs. You don't have an established facility, and yet you would send thousands of dollars so that we can fix the parking lot in a building that we have. It's like, well, don't send that money, save that money and get your own place. But that's not the heart of this ministry. We're not going to wait until we have it all figured out and have it all together to be a part of the gospel work. We're a part of the church at large. That's the conviction of the leaders and the people here. And so we're going to partner with the gospel both near and far. And so we'll set up chairs and we'll give to a ministry that has chairs already set up, because we believe that lost souls need to be saved. So I'm greatly encouraged and confident that a gospel work is happening here. And I want to encourage you as this family that you all are doing amazing things. And if you're a visitor or a guest here on this morning, this is a great family to be a part of, because there's sound teaching that's happening in this space. And there are real people who love God, who are doing community, and who would love to welcome you into this congregation. But now let me leave you with a sobering thought as well, and encourage you to not settle. A good work has been done. A good work is being done. But a race is not finished until the race is finished. And that's probably the deepest thought that I've shared with you on this morning. Right? But we would like to coast to the finish line. And there's no coasting if you're walking with Christ. We have to fight the good fight of faith. So would you on this morning be willing to do a spiritual assessment? Would you be willing to hear this list? And in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, hear where it is, man, I've grown a great deal over the last 5 years in this area. But also hear with great sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit where you need to continue to grow. Listen with great sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit of what you need to do when you leave this place. Who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that you need to go to and ask for forgiveness? Listen to the list of those who are walking in the way of wisdom. Verse 13 says one of the characteristics is humility. Verse 17 goes on to add more to the list. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, not tainted, not compromising, not trying to coexist. Holy, set apart, other than. It's pure. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full, abounding, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Where's the Holy Spirit convicting, encouraging, charging, challenging you to continue and to take the next step? I know there's a step for me as I look at this peaceable, full of mercy. It's very easy to stand firm and flat-footed. And it's right if you're talking about the Word of God. But again, it's not just what we do. God is also interested in how we do what we do. So there should be a kindness, a gentleness. Do these words describe us in our fullness? Do you see areas that you can grow? Well, then let's not settle. Like Paul, let's continue to press toward the mark. Walk in the way of wisdom. Turn from the way of the world, that God might be glorified, more people might see the love of Jesus, and might find their way home. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the love that you have for us, for the wisdom that you have sent from above, wisdom that you have demonstrated first and foremost, a love so magnificent, a love so great that while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you would send your Son to die for us. This love is unfathomable to the world. But for those of us who've experienced the wisdom from above, we are captivated by this breathtaking truth of your love. Lord, would you give us the strength? Would you give us the understanding that we might walk in this truth, and that we would not only be recipients of your love, but that we would also be those who share your love with others? Would you continue to show us the areas of growth, that we might not be a people who settle, but that we would be a people who strive, who look to press toward the mark, that we might proclaim the excellencies of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, so that more might know that they don't have to stay stuck in darkness because of the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this wonderful reminder on this morning that we are your children, we are your people. And thank you also for the reminder that as your people, we are called to walk in the way of wisdom. Use us for your glory, for the advancement of your gospel, that we might hear you say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.